Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, hour number two on the show with me and Joe today. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. He's at Joe Galina. We'll get into a whole bunch of stuff here in terms of football, fantasy football, and maybe look ahead at some odds as well. But the first of all, the kudos to the Chicago Bears. They went to the White Sox game last night, and we're crushing beers, chugging beers as a team. Mitch Trubisky and Kyle Long going at it. So it was, they did a first pitch last night. So that was kind of fun. I might actually root for them to win the Super Bowl based on that drinking performance, which I can appreciate. And the only other thing that I saw really of note yesterday is that Packers coach Matt LaFleur tore his Achilles playing hoops. He's playing a game of knockout or horse or whatever it was. Tore his Achilles. So the major injury in NFL football looks like it's the Packers coach Matt LaFleur. So I don't know how much that'll impact him, but you know, anybody can get hurt. You start getting into your 30s and 40s and you're acting like you were in your 20s, it's a sure way to tear your Achilles. It's happened to a bunch of people that I know, and the doctors, every time they see him, they're like, yep, par for the course. Guy trying to be a weekend warrior. He's got 10, 15 pounds extra on him. He's in a little worse shape than he used to be. And he goes out there, tries to play hoops, and boom, he's down for the count.
Freak accident, right? Even who knows what he was playing. I could get hurt just playing horse in basketball. So, you look, you know, you got to know your limitations, right?
Yep, absolutely. So, all right. So you sent me over some articles which are of interest to a lot of people listening out there. And our buddy Jim Day, who we've done shows with here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and he's the director over at FantasyFFChamps.com. Mm-hmm. So you can find this article over there. They did a 2QB Experts Invitational draft.
I think they're going to play this one out, right?
Mm-hmm. They're going to play this one out?
Yeah, I think so. And there's some interest, really top names of the industry involved in this. So it's great to follow along and you know, get their take on things.
Yeah. So I'll throw out the names. You got Matt Berry from ESPN, Sigmund Bloom from Football Guys, Mike Clay, also of ESPN, and Jim Day is in there at FF Champs. Dr. Roto, you can hear on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network weekdays in the afternoons. Matt Harmon from Yahoo, Bob Harris, friend of mine from Football Diehards, Liz Loza from Yahoo, John Paulson from 4for4 Fantasy, Jeff Ratcliffe, Pro Football Focus. He's in my Dynasty League with me. Adam Ronitz at Full Time Fantasy, and Evan Silva from Roto World. So I played in leagues with just about everybody here. Dr. Roto, actually, and Sigmund Bloom, I think, are in that Dynasty League with me as well. I played in a regular season league a couple of years ago, SiriusXM Invitational with Evan Silva. He won that league, I think.
Hey, he knows
that was
stuff,
the most. I think it was the most competitive single league I was ever in, because even though it was for no money, there was just such good names in there, and there were a million transactions, and it was a hard league because there was not much available on the waiver wire, and there was a fab process, and there was the top 11 of the 12 teams were so tight that it was just everybody had
Bless you.
You know, everybody was like between 8-4 and 6-7 by the end of the year.
Wow, very competitive. Yeah.
I missed the playoffs, but by, you know, one win. But kudos to Evan Silva. He does a really good job. He puts out a lot of great stuff on Twitter. He's
absolutely
He's one of the better fantasy football follows out there because he's constantly dredging information. But the league is a 2QB expert league, so that does change it up. Not super flex. 2 QBs.
And 2 tight ends they start as well.
Yes. So
this is an interesting setup.
That's right. The starting lineup is 2 QBs. Starting lineup. 2 QBs, 3 running backs, 4 wide receivers, 2 tight ends, and then 2 flex, which can be running back, wide receiver, or tight end, for a total of 13 starters. The starter, the scoring also gives a slight boost to QBs and tight ends. 24-round draft. So this is really just turns into a sort of a best ball league. You know what I mean? It's similar to Scott Fishbowl leagues, the way they've been set up in the past. Scott Fishbowl last year, the rosters were 22, and I'll make a segue in a moment. But Scott Fishbowl invitations went out yesterday, I believe.
Yes.
So I got mine.
So
I don't think
we
have to do anything yet, right?
We're going to be getting an invitation. I think it's played on my fantasy league. And just kudos real quick to Scott Fish regarding that charity that he set up, the fantasycares.net, where they purchased toys for children around Christmas time. And last year they raised over $44,500. So you don't have to be in the fantasy industry. Just go to fantasycares.net, you know, donate whatever you can. But kudos to Scott Fish, not only for setting up this league, the Scott Fishbowl league, but just the charity gives everyone an opportunity to contribute and make Christmas time a little happier.
It's the best example I can think of, somebody utilizing their pulpit, to put it in quotes, as a fantasy football expert for good. There's plenty of guys out there that are doing really nice things. Scott isn't the only one doing it, but I always like to shine a light on him. And I'll get Scott on here in the next couple of weeks.
We'll talk
about the league. We'll probably do it after the scoring comes out, because he changes the scoring every year. So you really have to know what the rules are. Last year was super flex. Year before was too. But last year there were kickers to the tight end, which is what I think inspired some of the scoring here on this fantasy football champs draft.
And he always sets up different, like last year, the divisions were based on television shows. This year's divisions are going to be based on video game characters. Do you have a favorite, by the way, before you get on to the other thing?
So I don't play video games. In my youth and during college, I was relatively obsessed with them. And I realized during college, by the end of college, that it was really unproductive for me.
Right.
So as a personal choice, I quit video games. Like every once in a while, I won't go play Golden Tee if I'm with a friend in a pub or something like that. But I don't pick up controllers. In fact, like in an office environment one time, a couple of guys I knew were playing FIFA. And to pick up the controller after never having really used one is pretty crazy, because back in the day, we had a 3-button Sega Genesis controller and an Atari joystick and really basic stuff. So it takes a while to get used to the more complicated controllers that are used now. And so I don't want to spend the time to get good at it. That's the bottom line.
Right.
My son, in a couple of years, will probably be begging me for a video game set up, and I would probably capitulate. I think I just won't spend that much time doing it. It's not productive for me personally. I am in no way critical of people that do. But if I was picking video game characters, you know, they didn't even really market video games like that back in the day. I probably quit when Mario Brothers and Sonic the Hedgehog were at the height of their powers. So I'm sure those will be on there. And what is it? King Loompa is the one from Mario Brothers. The princess from Mario Brothers. I don't know any of their freaking names. I don't. So Lara Croft, I would imagine, will be a video game character on there. I don't really have a favorite. I was always more partial to sports games anyway. You know what I mean? I played Tecmo Bowl and
I love Tecmo Bowl, yes.
And Sega Hockey and
yeah, that was a all that Blades game. Of Steel.
Blades on of Steel Nintendo. Was one.
That
too.
Was a great That's one right. too. Yeah, I don't play video games, you know, I haven't played in a very, very long time, but there was a little period where, you know, like with the original Nintendo, so, you know, the Mario Brothers and whatnot, but I put in, there was a game Punch-Out back in the day, I don't know if you're familiar
with
it.
Oh, Mike Tyson, yeah, of course.
Yeah, no, but it was before even Mike Tyson lent his name to it. They just called it Punch-Out, and the main character who gets his butt kicked is Glass Joe, so I that's who I sent in. I'll be Glass Joe.
So I would imagine we'll use all those. Glass Joe and Bald Bull and the one that looked like King Kong Bundy.
Right.
I don't remember.
King Hippo.
His name is all the way up.
King Hippo. He'd pop you on the top of the head.
Yeah, Sean, come on here for a minute. So
Sean's a big gamer. Yeah.
You're a gamer. And again, I'm not being critical of gamers. I just don't do it because I found it to be personally unproductive because I get addicted to it and I want to play for hours and I just can't do that. So so Sean, who would you suggest that Scott Fish uses as a video game character? Like, who's your favorite?
That's
who would be your favorite video game character?
That's a pretty
Sean, what's
tough
the game
call.
Where they combine Disney characters and other is that Heart it's Hearts or something like that?
Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts, okay. Like I said, I haven't played video games in a long time, but and every time I try to get into Madden NFL, it's fun. But like you said, Blewett, I mean, there's better things that you could do with your time. But not that we'd ever criticize anybody for, you know, spending time playing video games.
But I just didn't. I just decided after college that it wasn't going to be a productive way for me to spend my time. So whether it's going to the gym or going out and meeting people, I was
talking to me on Saturdays.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I'm a social butterfly, Joe. I gotta be out with the people. I can't be home playing video games solo.
You're a man of the people.
No criticisms. So let's get back to this draft. Sean, think about who your favorite video game character is and then pipe in. We'll do it at
whenever
the top of the next segment. So, all right. So here's how the first round went. Again, that setup is two QBs, three running backs, four wide receivers, two tight ends, two flex. Scoring gives a slight boost to the QBs and the tight ends. I'm going to assume it to be a PPR because it doesn't say it right here. But starting out, Jim Day, who organized the league, gets the number one overall pick. That's convenient. He goes Saquon Barkley to the New York Giants. Number two, Dr. Roto, Chris McCaffrey. Number three, John Paulson, Zeke Elliott. Number four, Matt Berry, Alvin Kamara. Now, you'll notice this is a 2QB league. Nobody going for QBs just yet.
Yeah.
Matt Harmon from Yahoo. DeAndre Hopkins, that's the first receiver off the board. Devontae Adams is next, then Travis Kelce. With the scoring boost to the tight ends, it's why you see Kelce here. I think Kelce will have the opportunity in many of your single-year redraft leagues, will have an opportunity in PPR leagues to go in the first round. I think seven is a little aggressive, but we're splitting hairs here when I'm talking between 7 and 12. If somebody feels like with the absence of Tyreek Hill and Mahomes still throwing at the rate with which he'll throw, that Kelce will see an even bigger boost in the offense, I can get down with that theory.
Yeah, I mean, in this league, sure. In a regular league where you're starting one tight end, me personally, I would still wait. And you know, based on our conversations and what I've heard from you, you tend to wait on tight ends, right?
I would never do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the difference here is that it is a two tight end league.
Correct.
So,
and there's so few really good tight ends. Yeah. So,
yeah. And he's picking seven. He knows he may not get the other ones on the turn. So, in the two tight end league, this makes far more sense than in a single tight end redraft league. But I am telling you, I think there will be people out there that will have Kelce ranked in those top 15
Might
players.
Be, yeah.
So,
yeah, I wouldn't doubt
so
it.
So getting him at 12 in a PPR league isn't really that nuts. We used to see
especially without Tyreek Hill, maybe, right?
That's right.
Without Tyreek Hill, Kelsey's got to get a little bit of a boost.
That's right. And, you know, we're waiting on the Tyreek Hill thing. There's just no news on it right now. So I can't expect it'll be good news, but we're just waiting to hear what happens. The Chiefs are waiting it out. They didn't wait it out with Kareem Hunt. They're waiting it out with Tyreek Hill. Obviously, they've already committed a lot of money to him. Mm-hmm. So that's really the I would suspect that that's the primary motivating factor in hanging on to him. They've already committed a lot of money to him. He's mm-hmm. a big part of their plans moving forward. So I think they'll have to feel out exactly what happens from a legal standpoint. I'm not going to be hypercritical of them in this instance because it all looks bad, but I don't know exactly what happened, and you have to figure out what the legal process is. I think, obviously, with the Kareem Hunt situation, there was video. We saw he was – now, while there wasn't any major punches struck, as we saw with Ray Rice and Joe Mixon, Kareem Hunt was actively trying to get into a fight with a woman,
mm-hmm.
which made it really easy with that video evidence to release him, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tyreek Hill, we don't have any video evidence. If we had video evidence of him hurting a kid or threatening...
We supposedly have audio, if you believe that that's him on that audio. But
that's right.
Look, you know, that's not for us really to, you know, at the end of the day, you and I think we're 100% agree that we care about the welfare of the child, right? That's basically it.
It's no-brainer stuff.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
it's 100% in agreement with you. There's always this situation where if the teams wait, people start criticizing them, and it doesn't mean that the Chiefs are supportive of what Tyreek Hill may have done. It just means that they're waiting to hear what exactly happened before they make a decision. I understand that you can't always wait, but in this instance, they're waiting, and I guess I can understand why. Rest of the first round, we'll evaluate it on the other side because we're running out of time. But the number 8 pick went to Jeff Radcliffe. He took Todd Gurley. Number 9, Mike Clay, Le'Veon Bell. Number 10, Melvin Gordon to Bob Harris. Number 11, Evan Silva takes David Johnson. Mm. And number 12, Adam Ronis, he takes James Conner. So as you see in that first round, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 running backs, 2 wideouts, 1 tight end. And it's a 2QB, 2 tight end league. Does that surprise you?
Yes, it does. I'm surprised that nobody took Mahomes in that first round. But, we'll talk about him when we come back. But
he goes in the second round. You'll find out where. And we'll see if Sigmund Bloom's strategy of taking Travis Kelce at 7 made sense. So we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this draft. Get into a little bit more NFL news, futures on the NFL, and everything. It's Mike and Joe on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Be right back after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on FNTSY, going through an expert draft. A couple other pieces of news. The Texans cut veteran tight end Ryan Griffin, leaving Jordan Thomas, Jordan Akins, Kali Waring, and Darren Fells to compete for playing time at the positions. It's called, according to Treen Williams of Pro Football Talk. So Thomas, a converted receiver, has taken first-team reps during OTAs, and according to Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle, is the tight end who is, quote, building a case as the top candidate to be a starter. He says, I'm still learning, my body. Everybody's fast at this level. I'm still trying to transition to that speed and just how to control my body and get in and out of routes. So he played tight end, defensive end, and offensive tackle at East Central Community College in Mississippi before moving to wideout at Mississippi State in Starkville. So They drafted him in the sixth round last year with plans to use him as a tight end, and he played 470 offensive snaps while making 20 catches for 215 and 4 touchdowns. So Bill O'Brien has some positive things to say about him. I think stories like this, players give players a little bit of a buzz and a little bit of a bump. But this, I think, also speaks to how sort of messy the tight end position can be, because people are trying to find the diamond in the rough in Jordan Thomas, a guy that's played tight end for a total of, professionally, he's played it for a year and he's still learning the position. So the upside is that the Texans, I think, with Deshaun Watson, are a pass-heavy offense to some extent with DeAndre Hopkins there, and having Jordan Thomas maybe being a red zone threat and an offense that could put up some points potentially. I think there's a little something there. I'd be willing to take a shot on somebody like this. I will likely look for somebody more established, but I think this is just indicative of what this position is all about. You're trying to find a diamond in the rough, and last year people picked up Eric Ebron off of waiver wires for the most part, and he dominated with touchdowns. So that's an interesting story, though. They cut the veteran, and I knew going in, the reason I like Kahale Waring in dynasty leagues is because I don't think they have much there at the tight end position. Now, Jordan Thomas may establish himself here as the starter. Interestingly, Kahale Waring does not have a lot of football playing experience. He started playing football as a senior in high school, and I think he's still learning the position. So Waring, I like long term, paired up with guys like Hopkins and Deshaun Watson. I think Waring is, there's potential there, not as a rookie though, and maybe Jordan Thomas is the primary option at tight end in Houston this year.
Yeah, it takes rookie tight ends typically some time to get accustomed to playing the position in the NFL. And, you look at Thomas, he's 6'5", 277, so he's got the body type. Good hands, a little over 74% catch rate last year. In this type of league that we're going over now where you're starting two tight ends, he might be a guy that you get like real late, maybe 20th round is maybe, your third tight end. And maybe he could give you some upside there, I'll play his ADP.
Yeah. Another important story to note is, again, via Pro Football Talk and Mike Florio, is there's a question as to whether or not Josh Norman can become a post-June 1 cap casualty. Folks at NBCSportsWashington.com have raised that question. And prior to 2006, June 1 had a significant meeting on the NFL calendar. Now it's mostly an afterthought with many of the cuts coming beforehand. Now, here's what could happen here. If they cut him post-June 1, it spreads some cap consequences over 2 years, $3 million counting against the cap in 2019 and $3 million counting against the cap in 2020. Those are remnants of the signing bonus signed a couple of years ago. But cutting him would also dump $11.5 million in salary and per-game roster bonuses for this year. You see a lot of players structured with those types of deals. So it looks like the big number looks good, but when you start looking down deeper into the way that these contracts are structured now, the per-game roster bonuses are a big deal. It could be as much as $500,000 a game, Joe, because which is how that adds up, by the way, $500,000 per game. That's $8 million over the course of the year. Right. So cutting him would dump $11.5 million in salary and net cap gain of $8.5 million this year. They could have cut him with a post-June 1 designation before the offseason program, avoiding the risk that he could suffer during these workouts. And obviously, if they get injured during that, they're fully guaranteed due to injury, and he would have gotten all the $11 million. But at present, he's not hurt. Maybe they try to squeeze him to take a pay cut, but Josh Norman may just walk and try to look for another opportunity.
Be interesting to see where he lands, yeah.
Yeah, 3 years after signing a contract worth $15 million per year from inception, he really has a great contract amongst all the quarterbacks. And the fact that no one has caught Norman – arguably makes him more vulnerable to getting squeezed, meaning that no other corners have gotten paid more than him in the three mm-hmm. years since he inked that deal. So interesting to look at. I'd have to dive a little bit deeper into their cap to see where they need money. But the obvious notation is that Alex Smith is locked in on money and he may never play for them again. So
right.
And they're dealing with a higher priced rookie quarterback. Now, rookie quarterbacks compared to regular quarterbacks that are veterans are getting paid a lot less, but they're also paying the veterans. So there's a lot of money right now dedicated to the quarterback position in Washington for reasons beyond their control. And maybe right. that's how they're looking to save money and sign extra players as well. So that story is worth continuing to monitor over the next week or so. Maybe by the time they come back next week, they could cut it. But something to look at. So, all right. So we saw the results of that expert draft. David Johnson at 11. I like Evan Silva taking the chance on David Johnson there. I guess you said to some extent you're surprised about the lack of quarterbacks, but it is funny. In expert leagues, as much as we talk about certain things, when you get all the experts in a room together, there's a game of chicken there.
Yes. And
they realize that there's some value at the QB position, and they all wanted to make sure they had one workhorse back in there, most of them mm-hmm. did, before turning the page to look at that. The Kelsey thing is unique to this league to some extent, and DeAndre Hopkins and Davante Adams, I can sign off on those because they feel safer than Gurley, Bell, Gordon, Johnson, Connor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree? Adams and Hopkins are safer than that second wave of running backs?
Yeah, I would say so. And I think it's worth just mentioning a couple of things with these running backs that were taken early. Mike, Zeke, what'd you think about that little incident that he had that supposedly the NFL is looking at where he was in handcuffs for 5 minutes, and then he just keeps on putting himself in bad situations.
Yeah. Like I said this last week, look, if trouble keeps finding you, it's you. Yeah.
Right.
It isn't the trouble. It mm-hmm. isn't people trying to put you in a bad spot. If you're out getting hammered at a concert, God bless. But if you're Zeke Elliott and you've been in trouble a couple of times before and there's people with cameras on you, maybe don't get hammered at a mm-hmm. festival. Like, I don't know. Right. I don't know what to tell you. I don't have mm-hmm. advice for you because I do have a criticism in that you keep getting into trouble. Was this a major incident? No. I saw the video.
It's just Zeke, TMZ wasn't around.
And the guy tripped when Zeke chest bumped him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Zeke didn't assault him, but Zeke was getting in the guy's face. And again, it's you, man. Mm-hmm. There's multiple incidents now, some of which are serious, and the DA's office said they think a crime happened, but they didn't have enough evidence to prosecute. The right. other is you being an idiot in Mardi Gras, and the other is you being an idiot at a concert. Like, just messing with security, he's sort of lucky that it didn't escalate and create an arrest situation, because he pushes that guy, he chest bumps that guy, and the guy trips over the railing. If that security guard didn't really care about his job and started swinging on Zeke and then Zeke hits him mm-hmm. back, then it's
looking at a whole different story.
And Zeke started it.
Right.
So then you're arrested for assault. So, look, he's an idiot. I don't know that much will happen, but Zeke is walking now in the same shoes as Le'Veon Bell walked, and mm-hmm. that he's clearly an extremely talented workhorse running back, which the team would love to have locked up for a reasonable number. Now, the Steelers couldn't come to an agreement with Le'Veon Bell. But in the background of all of that, and maybe in the foreground of it, was the fact that Le'Veon Bell had suffered multiple suspensions. And if he decided to miss more drug tests or smoke weed and get busted again, he was gone for a year. So that was always a part of the evaluation of the Steelers. It's significant to the discussion. And Zeke is putting himself in a similar position, that when it is time, Dak's going to get his deal, and Marcus Lawrence gets his deal, and now Zeke's got to come to the table. They'll say, I don't know if we have that much money left. We're paying these offensive linemen. Maybe we just draft a rookie running back and see what we can do. Because we all know that, quote unquote, running backs don't matter. And we see different guys be successful at the role. Are they as talented as Zeke? No. But you'd rather try to get by with a less talented running back when all the other positions are figured out, Joe, than you would having to pay the running back and then figure everything else out. Correct?
Right. Right, right. And if that's the case, if that's the Cowboys' ultimate intention, that could help fantasy owners as well because, you know, hey, Cowboys could just run him into the ground for the next couple of years until, you know, he's due for
his contract.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with Le'Veon Bell, yeah.
Le'Veon Bell carried the ball 400 times and then sat out a whole year, and now he's on a team where the coach doesn't even want him there. So,
right, oh, boy.
That's... He got paid, so he didn't care, but... I never blamed, and I'm a Steelers fan. I never blamed either side. I'll be totally honest. I was sitting here last year saying that James Conner, maybe not exactly at this time, but after the franchise tag designation deadline, which is in the middle of July, went by, I thought Le'Veon was going to hold out. I didn't think he was going to sit out the whole year, and I told everybody that I thought James Conner was a big value. That was all part of that process in me. People thought I was crazy that he was going to hold out. He'll never sacrifice those checks. Well, he did. Gave them all
up. He did, yeah.
Gave every one of them up. Didn't need it. Didn't need the $14 million, in his opinion, because he saved his body a year, and then he got paid by the Jets. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, that was a long tangent.
That's fine. Great stuff.
Getting back to that draft. So, all right, so David Johnson there. Evan Silva at 11. I like that there. I could see a bounce back. I still have a lot of concerns about that offensive line. I've talked about it extensively. The addition of Kyler and Kingsbury are good additions. Christian Kirk coming back off the ACL. That probably is not going to happen at the beginning of the year. I think Christian Kirk has a tough year as he fights back through the rehab of the ACL. Maybe by the end of the year he can be more effective. But we saw Julian Edelman come back and be effective after getting hurt at the end of the year. But round number two, back to Adam Ronis, who was on the turn. He takes Kittle there. So he was at the turn. He got James Conner and George Kittle in this league. I kind of like that.
Me too. Yeah.
But, you know, if I'm looking at him in comparison to some other guys out there, Evan Silva takes Odell Beckham. So Evan Silva walks away with David Johnson and Odell Beckham. I think I like that combo maybe a little bit better than Connor and Kittle. Back to round two. It's Kittle, then Beckham. Bob Harris takes Zach Ertz. So there you go. The tight ends were not going to get back to Sigmund Bloom at all. Top three went in the top 15 picks with Kelce, Kittle, and Ertz. Back to Mike Clay. He gets Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas went 16th in this draft. Surprising to me.
I almost want to take Thomas before I take Odell, in my opinion. I don't know how you feel about it. Yeah, especially with the way Odell, the number of games that Odell has missed over the past few years. I know he's going to be charged up to show the Giants they were wrong in trading him away. And it's part of
He's not wrong.
Right, right.
So, but the Michael Thomas was
taking shots at my Giants here.
I know.
They deserve it.
They put the bullseye on them.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
Michael Thomas obviously was great for big portions of the year, had a good season overall. I think this probably speaks a little bit more to the Browns running the up a little bit more of a high-octane offense with Freddie Kitchens at the helm. And the Saints obviously mixing Kamara in a lot. Drew Brees another year older. Is there going to be any kind of regression in the Saints offense? We'll see.
Are you concerned with Kamara in terms of him having to be? I know Latavius Murray is there, but I'm looking at Kamara even in college, right? 107 carries, 103 carries, and his pro career, how many carries last year? 194, 120. I know he's a big PPR guy, but are you concerned with him maybe having to, you know, carry the ball maybe 250, 275 times? Do you even think that the Saints might give him the ball that much?
I don't think they will do that. Yeah. I think they'll utilize him in the way that he needs to be utilized. And trying to make him carry the ball 250 times, I don't think that's going to be his game. I think Chris McCaffrey, I thought people were down on him thinking he wasn't as durable, but I thought that was misguided. I think McCaffrey can be more of a workhorse back, so to speak, than Kamara can. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But I've seen those pictures of him all jacked.
He's a ridiculous athlete. I think people really sold him short going into last year. He was a clear first-round pick for me last year, and he did survive to the second round in a lot of drafts. So,
not this year.
No. He and Kamara, look, they went in the top four here. I think that speaks volumes about what experts think of those guys. We had Joe Mixon here. Pat Mahomes is the first quarterback off the board at 18. We got Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, Julio Jones, Juju, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and Andrew Luck is the second quarterback off the board. We'll come back, talk more about that draft, the FFF Champs 2QB Invitational Draft after this. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and Joe, we're here until 11. And it's myself and Cam Stewart from 11 to 2. So I'm on the longboard today, getting it done for you. We'll talk anything you want to talk about, frankly. If anybody wanted to call in, they could. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. Talk about whatever you want to today. Let's keep it to sports, but, you know, I'm open to other stuff, too. You want to talk about, wish Joe a happy birthday, a belated happy birthday, you can do that. You want to talk about what to do with your life, I'll talk about that as well. I probably have bad advice on that front, but happy to do it. So, all right.
Wish us a National Go Barefoot Day. You ever take a look at these calendars, man? Today, there's like five or six different national days. It's National Nail Polish Day. Okay, you want to
nail
really hear them?
Day? Okay,
yeah, National Nail Polish Day. So right.
Yeah,
here's a good one, though. Here's a good one. National Say Something Nice Day. I like that one.
Joe, you're a gentleman and a scholar. There you go. I've fulfilled my...
There you go, buddy.
Say Something Nice Day. I don't have to say something nice to everyone. I just say something nice.
Exactly. Right. To everyone you meet, right? I'll just a couple more because there's a lot of them. National Olive Day.
I hate olives?
National.
So I'm out.
Do you? You hate olives?
I do.
Wow.
Don't like them.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever met anyone that hates olives. Okay.
Green and black.
How about National Heimlich Maneuver Day?
I mean, how do you celebrate that? You try to choke on something so that somebody can just wolf down a bunch of bread without drinking any water and see if somebody could help you out.
And last one I'll mention, National Pen Pal Day. In this day of emails and texting and stuff, do you really need a pen pal day?
I don't know. I wonder if pen pal as a term has morphed, though, into something.
Yeah.
Greater than that. Like, it can be an email pal. Pen pal may just be in quotes now, where you can have somebody that you write to from time to time. But even that doesn't really happen anymore. I don't communicate with anybody regularly over email. In fact, our fearless leader, Mike Cardano, is always getting mad that I don't open up his emails anymore. It's because my email inbox is a wasteland of email marketing messages. So I understand that he has to communicate that way, but, I'm more... tied to the phone and push notifications and text messages and that kind of stuff. So that really helps me more than an email does. But I would imagine pen pal can mean just email too. It doesn't have to be actually writing a letter. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are like, nuts, it says pen pal. It means you're writing letters to me, which I don't do. Yeah. I just don't write letters to anybody. I'm a nice birthday card once in a while, but I'm not writing letters to anybody because I can text them in seconds.
When I have to actually write something, my penmanship is horrible because I don't use it anymore. Right, everything's typewritten on a laptop or whatnot or your phone.
So my penmanship has, for my entire life, been bad. I'm left-handed, so there was always a challenge there. I had bad handwriting when I was a kid, when I had to write cursive or script, which they don't even teach anymore, I don't believe. I struggled badly. Teachers were irritated with me, and I was a good student. They were just irritated with the penmanship. So I had to spend a really long time
to perfect it,
focusing to write better, and I hated that whole process. And then I had a seventh grade teacher that I remember this vividly. His name was Mr. Harrison. He's like, you don't have to write script in my class. He's like, if you want to print, great. And my handwriting went back to being bad in print, but I realized I didn't really have to do it anymore. And I think even in high school, I just didn't do it. So I probably couldn't properly, other than my signature, which is a bunch of scribbles, I don't think I could actively write script right now. I don't know if I'd even remember how to do it from a muscle memory standpoint. But my handwriting is at an all-time worst level now. So that's it. That's it for me on those days. Go Barefoot Day. Is it really one of the days too?
That's one of the ones, yeah. And, my daughter, she works in an office where her boss wears shorts and walks around barefoot. So it's a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Be one with the
earth. Yeah, I don't – I'm not a big barefoot guy. I have jacked up feet because I have flat feet and they hurt all the time. So I have to wear orthotics. And I wear sneakers and orthotics. And I've even – at my age now, punted on dress shoes. I don't even wear nice shoes anymore. I just wear comfortable shoes.
Sure, why not?
Mostly sneakers. Yeah, because I'm an adult and it's not the 1950s anymore where I'm wearing a suit around the house. I just don't have to do that. So anyway,
you don't wear a suit to go sit to dinner with your family, Leave It to Beaver days.
No, look, I wear blazers a lot. People that see me on air,
you look sharp.
I wear a blazer all the time. But I'm wearing jeans under the desk for the most part.
I like that look.
So that's nice and comfortable for me. I think it's respectful. It means you know what? I don't have to wear a suit. I'm not that formal, but I'm happy to dress it up, throw a pocket square in, call it a day. So back to this draft, and then we'll talk about some outlooks for the rest of the year. So you can find on Evan Silva and on Jim Day's Twitter feeds, you can find information and you can go look up this draft. But I think you're seeing, Joe Mixon, I think, is somebody interesting at 17. Right there, Pat Mahomes is the first quarterback. He goes at 18 overall. So Sigmund Bloom went with the combo of Kelsey and Mahomes, which is pretty interesting. Dalvin Cook is a guy here at 20. Man, that guy is going to turn fantasy teams this year, I'm telling you. Because now he's sliding down the board to the point where people obviously don't trust him to stay healthy. But if he does stay healthy, Dalvin Cook's going to be a monster.
Absolutely, yeah. And we saw some video of him.
Not great. Yeah.
Right. But, take it for what it's worth. But I saw somebody posted some video of Dalvin Cook. Looked really good in the preseason workout. So, but you're right. The key to him, staying healthy.
Yeah, that's it. So here's an interesting component. So Julio Jones, Matt Berry takes at 21. Let's see, who did he have in the first round? He went early. So he had Kamara. He had Kamara, and then he goes Julio Jones. So here's the interesting ones. Juju Smith-Schuster goes all the way down at 22, Antonio Brown all the way down at 23. So despite some people saying that they would take Odell first overall, it's really Hopkins and Davante Adams, and then those guys start to fall. So Juju and Antonio Brown go back-to-back right in front of Mike Evans. And then the first pick of the third round was Andrew Luck. So that's when the QB started to go a little bit more. You got Luck, Mayfield. Some guys still really held off, though. Aaron Rodgers went in that third round. Matt Ryan goes to the top of the fourth round next to Russell Wilson. And then Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Carson Wentz, and on and on. I'll break down the quarterbacks in a second. But Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster fall a little bit in this draft. Not precipitous falls, but they fell a little bit. They're not the number one wide receivers overall that we heard with the early movement of those players.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Carr and Antonio Brown interact. You know, say what you will. Not you personally, but some people might not really like Roethlisberger. But he could get the ball to Brown. They had a very good connection. So
chemistry. It was the off-field chemistry that tore them apart.
And Roethlisberger tried to mend fences, and which is kind of
too
silly.
Too freaking late, man. You threw everybody under the bus. Every chance
on the radio, wherever you could, right? Yeah.
And now you're sorry? Yeah. Like, that doesn't fly. I understand why guys don't like him. He hasn't been a good teammate in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. He's a great player. He's going to the Hall of Fame, Joe. Mm-hmm. I like him as a player. But I think it's really obvious that he doesn't treat his teammates well.
Right. Yeah, really the stories about the way he treats his teammates, practice field, and, I mean, a guy like Brown, maybe
talk to rookies.
Right.
Juju said openly, Ben doesn't really talk to rookies. Are you kidding me? That's a second-round pick, and an obviously clearly talented wide receiver. But you give him short shrift because, what is this, college or high school?
Exactly, yeah.
You don't talk to the freshmen? Give me a break. They're adults. Juju was the youngest player in the league. He needed help. He was the youngest player in the league when Juju started. He was 20 years old. He didn't even drive a car. He rode a bicycle, and it got stolen. Remember the story?
Yes,
Juju
that was
rode
awesome.
A bicycle to Heinz Field, and it got stolen, and then they got it back. But anyway,
so you know these players very well, both of them. If you had this choice, pick number 22, and you said, "Look, I need to get a wide receiver," would you take Smith-Schuster or Brown? And you know these two players very well, being a Steelers fan.
I think there's a chance that Antonio Brown could put up the types of numbers that we're accustomed to him seeing. I don't think they'll be as high as they were in Pittsburgh because I don't think the Raiders are as good. I think he could put up really good numbers, but it'll be less efficient. As far as Juju is concerned, he's now the number one. He's going to deal with the number one corners, but I do think he is talented enough to overcome that. What the biggest X factor in all of this, there's two X factors. One is Antonio Brown is obviously working with a new quarterback. And two, we don't know what James Washington is going to be in Pittsburgh. If he is a very effective number two, and he was virtually nothing last year, but if he is a really legitimate number two and the offense keeps rolling, then Juju will have the better season.
Right.
But those are the X factors you're having to determine. I think I would shade towards Juju personally because I think the Steelers offense will be better. But I can't argue that Brown – I wouldn't argue vehemently that he's better, going to have a better season than Brown.
Right. I forget who it was, but I heard an interview of someone who covers the Steelers, and he said that Washington's issue last year was that the Steelers asked him to play in different positions all over the field, and when he was in college, he had a specific place where he played. I think he played on the outside of college. He was he wasn't a slot receiver, but the Steelers moved him around the field all over. So, hey, look, we know there are a couple of positions. I mentioned tight end before where it takes some tight ends a year or two before they really get acclimated to playing in the NFL. And the wide receiver position is known as a tough spot for rookie wide receivers. So, look, I'd take a chance on James Washington this year.
Yeah.
I just wonder what
price you'll have to pay for him as we go. But let me just break down what they did at running backs here.
Sure.
It went Saquon Barkley, CMC, Zeke Elliott, Kamara, Gurley. That's the top five. The next five were Bell, Gordon, David Johnson, James Conner, and Joe Mixon. And the next five, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, Josh Jacobs, Leonard Fournette, Devontae Freeman shows you how much Fournette has fallen. I understand this league is a little unique, but Fournette, I think I just ripped off. He's the 15th running back taken last year. He was top five.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Even at the as the 15th running back taken, I still would avoid him. I just, you know, I'm kind of a conservative drafter, and you just know that something's going to happen. He's going to show up late to a practice and get benched unexpectedly in the middle of your fantasy season or whatnot. He's just the guy that attracts bad things to him. I mean, he's obviously very.
I've been reading about Leonard Fournette since he was a high school senior, and he was a typical, I shouldn't say typical, but I said he's the story that it's not the most unique story, but he wasn't from a great neighborhood, but he was seen to be a really nice kid and just an immense talent, which we've seen undeniable. Other guys from before. He's from New Orleans, I believe, went to LSU, has been lauded about for years. And even from afar right now, it screams to me that he needs some sort of mentorship. He was a top five draft pick. He's obviously got a whole bunch of money that he got from that. And he's in a world of hurt as far as managing his life and the public opinion now. It's not to the extent of where Josh Gordon dealing with substance abuse issues. I don't want to overstate it, but it seems to me like he really needs somebody to pull him aside and say, we need you, you know, somebody like Marshall Faulk or whomever that can show him the ropes. I mentioned Marshall just because we worked with him here on FNTSY, and you know, he's from New Orleans. I just wonder if somebody like that could lend a hand. Or I'm not enlisting him. I just wonder if a veteran running back, whether in the league,
or like
out,
Frank Gore's in Buffalo now.
Yeah,
if the, let's say right. if the Jags, you know, had signed him, maybe he could have helped them. You know, just you know, it's almost like
Frank Gore's a perfect example.
Like, Yeah. So,
yeah.
I think that's what he needs.
So, and then the next group, Devontae Freeman, obviously comes with risks there. Marlon Mack, which is pretty interesting for me. The single biggest mistake I made in all of fantasy last year is I kept Marlon Mack and then released him at the beginning of October.
I
kept him, but he was at that point injured. The Colts were 1-5. And there was no sense that things were going to turn around that quickly and that Mack would come back and dominate. But it really hurt me in that one league where I did it. I had I felt good about keeping him, and then boom, I cut him. And I probably cut him for nobody that made any impact as well. Derrick Henry goes all the way down. He's like almost the 19th or 20th running back taken, right behind Damian Williams, right in front of David Montgomery. That's kind of an interesting value to me. Kerryon Johnson all the way down after David Montgomery. I think that's kind of low for me. I think that's a really good value. Liz Loza gets Kerryon Johnson. I'm not a huge believer in the Lions, but I am a believer that Kerryon Johnson will see a lot of touches this year.
Yeah, I think that you're right that his role should expand, you know, the second year in the league. So I think that's good value where Liz got him.
Yeah, and then you got Aaron Jones, Mark Ingram, Kenyon Drake, Sony Michel, and Philip Lindsay. So you're getting some value in that league as late as the beginning of the seventh round. Late sixth round is Philip Lindsay. So some value there even in an experts league like that. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more football. We'll do some futures, take a look at some odds on divisions and everything else on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So had a lot of information coming at you in these first couple of hours. Stay tuned for hour number three with Mike and Joe. Talk about whatever you want, Joe. You get to set the tone for the next segment, so I'll leave it up to you. But we got to talk some futures.
Sure.
We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.